Welcome to the Motoring Podcast, my Toyota Yaris GRMN long-term review report number one. Hello, I'm Alan.
Hello, I'm Andrew. And in case anyone's curious, confirm the impartiality in this, Alan.
There is none.
As it said, my Toyota Yaris review.
Yes, I've spent quite a lot of my own money on this. I'm not going to be telling you it's rubbish. There you go. Spoiler alert. All that kind of thing. Done.
So what is the Toyota Yaris Grim then?
Well, we've done... It's getting old.
That's it for this episode.
Are you sure?
I have to do it at least once. Then.
Okay. Okay, so quick summary in case you haven't heard some of our other coverage on the Toyota Yaris GRMN.
Which I will put previous episodes in the show notes for anyone to go back and get fuller explanations of what you're about to give us a summary of.
Please do. So, GRMN, it's a weird acronym, but it stands for Gazoo Racing, tuned by Meisters of the Nürburgring, where Gazoo Racing is a common branding for all of Toyota's competition activities around the world. The Yaris GRMN is intended to be a statement of intent for the brand in Europe, quote unquote. So it's a case of showing off the kind of stuff that they really want to be bringing to the Toyota brand in, funnily enough, Europe. It is a super limited edition. They are building 600 of these vehicles. 200 are for Japan as VITS GRMNs, and they're right-hand drive, but otherwise they're different from the outside. And 400 for Europe, 80 of which are coming to the UK, or have come to the UK.
Yes, they're here. They're out, aren't they?
They're all out. Wild. Yeah, yeah. They're all sold. I believe Struens Perth did have one hanging around for a little while there, but I believe that was the last one. It's a three-door Yaris with a 1.8-litre supercharged engine, essentially from a Lotus Elise. I say essentially because there are some detail differences to the head. It puts out about 210-ish metric brake horsepower, and it weighs 1,100 kilos. There's all kinds of fun stuff like unique forged alloy wheels, four-pot front calipers, extra bracing, and some other stuff that we'll talk about in a minute. So that's just to remind you what a Yaris GRMN actually is.
Okay. Should we move to the outsides?
Yeah. I mean, I've done about, just quickly, the other thing that I hadn't had in the list there was the fact that we've got, that I've done about 2,000 miles now. I think I'm just 2,100 I've just clicked over to since
Easter,
since Good Friday, which was end of March, late March. Yeah, it was after my birthday, so late March.
So in roughly just under a month.
Yeah.
As
we record this, just under a month, yes. Yes. Okay. So
that's not bad considering how many weeks you've actually been away.
How many nights
your car has slept in an airport car park as well?
A lot. I think it's only recently that it passed the time where it actually has now spent more time on my driveway than it has in station and airport car parks. Yeah. That's what happens to my poor little car.
It's having the full Allen test.
It is totally the full Allen test.
Well, yeah. I'm going to ask you about that later anyway.
Okay. We
know that there is one particular marker that you put your cars through. Which is a big test, actually.
Which I haven't actually got. We'll come to it.
So what's it look like then?
It looks like an albino manga hedgehog. That's the best description. That's what I've come up with. That's what I've decided it looks like. It is not a pretty car.
So it's a spiky-ish.
So the standard Yaris these days has gone from being a little cuddly car on the Mark 1s and is kind of all pointy and weird, and it's got this kind of weird frown at the front and stuff. So it's not a pretty car, okay? But I've got to say that the spikiness of that, the extra big, you know, the extra front lip, the way the rear bumper is with all the little triangles and trapeziums. I wasn't very good at Latin. And the large back larger wing on the back has made it even spikier. That, and then you add the decals and the war paint on the side, and it just looks like this weird, mad collection of triangles, which I think is really cool. It's really distinctive.
It does. It does. As need I
say,
the
but
it's
definitely
though,
not
it?
Pretty.
It, do, it does need the war paint, though, doesn't it?
It needs it. I've there's at least one around the place which doesn't have the war paint. And if you do see it, you'll probably hear it first because it's got an aftermarket exhaust and a lot of other stuff on it. But yeah, it looks a bit naked without the war paint. I am a huge fan of it.
Good. Well,
that's, I think that's it looks. Handy. I think it looks a business. It doesn't quite. You know, I've just coming from the MX-5. Now, one of the things about the MX-5 was that it's and the Infiniti before it, and the other MX-5 before that, is that they were very, very good at clearing lanes on the motorway. People don't quite get the message. I don't know that they notice the war paint just enough to make them.
So you're going to get three spotlights in the middle. You know,
I was thinking about putting four round circles in the middle.
Triangle.
Three spotlights in the middle would be great. But don't let's not go down that route because my best mate will listen to this and he's already trying to get me to put a light bar on the front. So
No, it's not light bar. It's just something that maybe you perhaps just accidentally picked up in hand luggage when you were in Sweden. Weekend.
It's very tempting. No. Sadly not.
I'm sure they will fit. It was a perfect fit for the front of your car.
I was going
if you had
back
a word
wing.
With someone in yeah. the know.
Yeah, they'd tell me to get lost because I've just seen how little that bodywork has to do with the real thing. Also, carbon fiber. Yeah.
Won't show up in scanners then.
No, well, that's true. This is very true. Anyway,
so inside.
Inside is a bit Hall of Calcutta black, but you know what? It doesn't really matter because that's lots of the magazine articles said. Oh, the inside's a bit Yaris-like. Now, here's one for you, folks. It's a Yaris. It's kind of what you expect.
So the inside of a Yaris was like a Yaris.
Yeah, it's like a car which costs 13 grand. Okay. Which is fine because I understand that I'm buying it not for the lovely, sexy squidginess of the plastics, but for all the other stuff, really. I mean, you know, as long as the bits I touch feel good, then that's what matters. So the Ultra Suede seats by Toyota Bushoku, are amazing. They are so comfortable. They're comfortable on long distances. They're comfortable when you're hooning. They're just
and they fit your race helmet on okay. Yeah,
I don't know. I haven't tried that yet. But whenever you're going at the Rockingham Summer Social little sprint time sprint competition thing, then they hold you in place perfectly, and that's pretty wiggly as you'll see
mm-hmm.
at some point. So yeah, the seats are fantastic. That's in the front. In the back. The back is second class, okay, because the seats do not fold very easily. I've had one person in the back who was a quality engineer in the automotive business. Looked in the rearview mirror and saw him checking out the mouldings around the back window to see how much flashing there was on it. Unbelievable. It's like, yes, I can see you. By the way, just out of interest, he was full of compliments for it. I don't know if he was just being nice to me because he knew it was my new car, but no, he was complimentary about it.
Yeah, but the back seats don't really mean that much to you anyway.
The other thing is
extra luggage space, so that anybody as far as that I'm you take to I don't know France, for example, can bring all the bags they like.
Yeah, she's married now; she can go with her husband.
He's got the estate.
He's got a massive estate, yeah. So, I mean, it's quite nice having luggage space again, to be honest. Although I've done a slightly silly thing. I've fitted a rear upper strut brace, which may come off again, because, to be honest, it's neither low enough to be flush with the bottom of the boot, nor tall enough that you can put your bags underneath like it is in the Mark One Yaris. It's probably coming off again. Because it's just more of an inconvenience than anything else. But I knew that that was like the number one thing that you do on an old Yaris. So I decided to try it on a new one. And I don't like it much, which, well, I'm surprised
at. Does it make any difference?
Done that.
Just quickly.
I don't know, because I've fitted it and then I haven't really driven anywhere.
Okay.
In that car. And, other than to the supermarket.
And my second question is, are you incapable of having a car without fitting something to it? This is brand new. This
pretty
is
much,
brand
yeah.
new.
Pretty much,
gone,
yeah. I mean, it hasn't got an air filter
it's
yet.
It's all right. I can make it better.
Well, this is my worry. It's all right. I can make it worse. So what you know.
You know, because Toyota are not, you know, pushing the boundaries here and trying to show people what they can do with their cars.
Yeah, but I just feel, so, I feel okay. There's a point with that one.
I know, I've spotted they've missed a bit.
No, my thing is that I looked at it and went, they haven't, I bet you they wanted to put a brace there. And I haven't asked, okay, to be honest, I haven't asked. I thought, I bet
well,
they wanted to put a brace there. Because I looked at even
in the morning this goes out.
Oh, yeah.
Put your phone on silent.
I will be so unsurprised. And because I look, even the... Do you know what? This is the fault of the i30N. I'm blaming Hyundai for this. Because even in there, they have done it and they have put an upper strut brace and it impedes on the luggage space in the back. Yes, it does if you fold the seat. Does. You look at the pictures. It doesn't
fold
the seats.
It
cuts
in on it. I'm ignoring that. I didn't need to fold the seats.
Yeah. So that's the problem. Is the
way to fold seats.
Where it ends up. Yeah. Where it ends up positioned gets, I think, is going to get in the way and it's going to really bug me. So it could well come straight back out again.
Well, I think seriously though, I think you do need to test and see whether there is a difference.
Well, that's it. The other trouble is no. The side of that is that traditionally, what happens with an upper strut brace, you fit it and you go, well, it's not really making any difference, but it looks cool. And then you take it out and you take it off the car again, going, ha, this makes no difference. And then you go, whoop. So traditionally, it does make a difference because you're kind of. I'm trying to justify this now, aren't I? Mm. You're basically bracing, you know, the wibbly box bit at the back.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Do you want the obligatory interior gripes?
Yeah.
Obligatory interior gripes was, I wish the GR badge in the Speedo was illuminated. I just wish there was something shone through so I could see it in the dark. Yeah, really vital. And the other one is, I wish I could hang up the phone from the steering wheel. Oh, also the steering wheel. This is, and then all the same bugbears as the same steering wheel in the when it's in the GT86 and the BRZ, which is that the heel of my thumb hits the trip button on the right hand side, and it keeps scrolling through the trip meters and stuff when I want it to show trip meter A all the time in the car, and it's annoying. Because I'm scared I'm going to reset it. And it's important that it doesn't get reset until I want to reset it. Because one of the really anally retentive things I do in cars is have the range showing and how far I've gone. And then I try and add that up to a certain mileage to see how well I'm doing. But that's all to do with me and really is not a fundamental flaw. Other than that, by the way, if you could fix that, that would be great. And, you know, and any of the ones you've got left. Yeah, okay, come on. Let's be realistic here. What's the other thing? Oh, yeah, the seating position. The seating position that I felt was really, really high to begin with. I've experimented a bit more, especially with wiggling the steering wheel around. And sure, the seating position is a bit high if you pop out of, you know, an MX-5 or something.
Yes, quite. But, I was going to say.
I mean, anything relative. Relative, the seating position is high, and you know, again, I've probably lived with one of these more than just about anybody else who does stuff about cars, and I've got it sorted now, so it doesn't feel weird. And the seats are so awesome; it doesn't really matter, to be honest. But you're in the right position for the pedals and the steering wheel and the gear knob and stuff. Which rocks.
Cool. Tech then.
Well, there isn't much. There is a distinct lack of tech on this car, and it's only the longer you drive it, you realise how little tech there is. What there is the nav. It's good. The lady's clear. She gives the appropriate commands at the appropriate times, and that's great.
Did you find the Toyota sat-nav intuitive to program?
Because you had one as an unofficial test car for a while.
Yes, I've had one as an unofficial test car, and I battled with the sat-nav a bit for the first few days until I understood the way it worked.
Yeah. It's a little sluggish, yeah. Especially when you come to typing in. It loses track, but I've discovered that you can get around that problem because it is actually connected. So you can, which is different because yours was an unofficial test car.
Yeah.
And I know lots of people have had them as test cars, which probably means that they haven't registered the unit to their My Toyota account.
No.
In fact, I kind of hope they haven't done that. If you've got that, then then what you can actually do is you go into the My Toyota thing and you can plan your itineraries in advance.
Oh, okay. So you can do it remotely and then it's there.
So you can do it remotely and then send it. You turn it on. If your phone's plugged in or on Bluetooth, it comes up with the message you cannot get rid of saying, this is going to cost you money. It's like, yes, I know. Shut up. Just take it. Just do it. Every time, just do it. And it then updates. It then updates that way, and it downloads it, and then you can just use that path whenever you want to. It's saved in the sat navs as one of your, it adds it to your favorites, which is really good.
That's helpful.
Right. Which is really good. So you can reuse it over and over again. Mm. So that kind of stuff's really cool. The other thing is that some of the stuff that you find you can't do inside the car, you think, okay, so my headlamps can come on at whatever level, but why can't I change the sensitivity of that. Sure, there must be a setting. Well, I couldn't find a setting in the car, but I could do it from the online. Do it and then send it as a batch. But it's only, you know, it's only within a boundary. You get like 5 tick boxes, Andrew. It's not an open API.
Yeah, no, I understand that. What I was ooing at was the stuff you do remotely rather than in the car.
Yeah. But you do it once and then you leave it.
Yeah, you'd think. Yeah,
you know, it's that kind of settings. I mean, I've done it, I've set it up, but I've not changed it again since.
Okay.
So there is lots of stuff like that which you can do, which you won't find out unless you own it, and unless you're the kind of person that goes can do online account. The sat-nav also comes with 3 years of the connected for free. That includes stuff like parking, speed cameras, and there's some apps and stuff. One of them's weird. You know how I've always said that the most useless thing that you can have in a car is a G meter.
Mm.
Well, actually, I found myself wanting a G meter purely for
childish reasons.
Childish reasons, exactly. Making one of those little star maps that we did with the i30s. The thing is, it must be possible to have it, but they never did it because there's one in there called Glass of Water, which is meant to train you to drive more smoothly. You know, and because you've got to keep as much water in the glass as possible. Now, it's hugely distracting. I don't recommend people actually use it. But let me point out that a Yaris GRMN on the third world roads of Northamptonshire is not a good way to keep glass in a water. Water in a glass, even.
No.
If we ever edited
that's how
these
bad
things,
it was.
I'll go back and say that again.
The glass was in the water.
Yeah, it was almost at that stage. And I was trying. I really was. There is one. So the nav side is all good. Okay. It's all right. It's pretty good. I haven't updated it. I do have an update for it. It's on a memory stick. I'm slightly scared of it, to be honest, but we'll have a go. We'll see.
Okay.
I'll get round to doing that at some point.
You'll be fine.
Can only completely fritz it. Yes. Yes. That's it.
All the data you put into it.
And knowing me, what? Shut up. Stop enjoying this. Well, it's all right, because I can back it up to a memory stick, you see. Transfer it from car to car. Knowing me, I will try that the night before making a long journey where it's important to have sat-nav. So, yeah. Yay, go me. That will be clever.
Some sort of map might be in order.
That's what Waze is for, isn't it? Don't go on tangent. The stereo itself, by the way, it's 6-speaker stereo. It sounds fine. It's all right. It's not the Bose system that was in the Mazda. But it does do one.
In the Mazda, you did live in the speakers, though.
Oh, it was something like 11 speakers in the Mazda. It was something ridiculous. And, you know, right through the headrest and everything. It was great. On the other hand, the Mazda lost connection to the Bluetooth every 20 seconds. Couldn't hold a phone call. And would fritz out about once every 2 weeks. So this one's only crashed on me once.
Swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, exactly. so I'm fine. What this one has a terrible habit of doing, though, and I cannot work out what I need to do when I'm unplugging the phone or plugging the phone in, what order I need to do things, is it keeps reverting. It forgets I'm halfway through listening to an audiobook or a podcast or anything, a playlist, Apple, you know, streaming from Apple Music, whatever. It forgets that, and it keeps going back to the very first song on my phone. Now, there's only so many times that any human can listen to Ed Sheeran's The A-Team before wanting to put their fists through the display of the stereo, okay?
Yeah, but many cars do that.
I know. So anyway, Ed Sheeran has been completely vanquished.
This is an OEM issue that they need to fix.
This is really annoying. So I've always said the nav system has a 6-month grace period. If anybody, suppliers who are PRs for any of the entertainment system companies, would like to loan me a unit for test purposes, then I would be delighted if you could fit one to the GRMN. Please. Please? Because this is my bugbear with the car. This is the thing that grates so much, is that reverting to the first song. It drives me crazy. Mm. Sounds ridiculous. Everything else is so easy to use. That drives me nuts. God, give me Apple CarPlay.
Yep.
Anyway, that was tech.
Okay. Tech. I think we've skirted around. Well, I think we've dealt with all the important issues, so let's get...
No. Because those are all the bits at the side, especially the tech. The tech doesn't really matter. I mean... Well, an importance of 0 to 10, the sat nav system, the music system really comes in at about a 4 for me, so I'm not too bothered. But I am bothered. It just bugs the heck out of me. But, you know, ultimately, because what's important in this car is the driving.
You sure?
Yeah. That's the only reason you buy a car like this.
Okay, then. So, take a deep breath, Alan. What's it like to drive?
It's all right.
Oh, okay.
It's fantastic. It is really good. It really is. I mean, it's proper old school. There's nothing. I mean, I've said before, because I'm actually trying not to repeat myself. Given the last podcast we did about GRMNs, I repeated myself 3 times in the podcast. Then I'm trying not to repeat that yet again. It's a great thing to drive. It really is. It is proper chuckable go-kart, hot hatchy fun. There's no mode buttons. There's a button for your traction control. And that really is it. You know, your traction stability control on or traction stability control off. Everything else is down to you. You make sure the gear shifts are smooth. You accelerate, you brake, all of that kind of stuff. Proper old school. Because the thing that amazes me most is the limited slip diff, because you unlike other Yaris where whenever you kneel it into a corner, because it's a front wheel drive car, it tends to run a bit wide, and I keep being ready for it to run a bit wide, whereas what it actually does is just grab and snap me back towards the apex again. And I know that sounds a bit Troy Queef, and I'm sorry, but it really does. It's the way it zips you towards the apex, and you just round the corner. I mean, you've got to be slightly careful that all those, you know, those signs with those round signs with the numbers and the red line around them.
Yeah,
you've got to remind yourselves that those are not a minimum roundabout exit speed. In fact, with this car, you've got to remind yourself those are not a minimum roundabout entry speed most of the time.
Cool.
So when you leave a motorway and think, oh, that was a bit quick, as you come off and down the slip road, and then realize that you were the little max speed signs, you maybe weren't below that number.
So it makes you concentrate. It's good. Good.
Well, the thing is, it's actually the exhaust is amazing in this, because when you're, because one of my big worries about this, and this is where you're going to ask about
the Allen test.
About the Allen test. Now, the Allen test is what happens when you get back to Heathrow at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and you just want to get home.
Doesn't Can need to be an event. Doesn't need it? To be dramatic. Just needs you just to need get to you get home as with as little fuss as possible, please.
Terminal 2 business car park to home without losing your license and with as little fuss as possible. Yes, it passes. On the motorway, it is remarkably quiet, actually.
Okay, I am surprised at that. Particularly as you said, there was
not as much as me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get buzzy until
a certain rev range.
Until you're going quite quickly, actually.
Okay.
At cruise, in the UK and in most of Europe, it's just it's never going to be an issue.
Okay.
So that's absolutely not a problem. It's a great little motorway car, actually. Really is. I mean, the only thing that would make it slightly better would be if there was cruise control. But given that you tend to zip between 6th and 5th, then that's not a that's not a big deal, really.
I'm surprised it doesn't have cruise.
It's all to do with the ECU, mate. The ECU the ECU's out of the Elise, supposedly. So of course Elise doesn't come with cruise.
Okay.
That whole control unit. So basically, the reason it doesn't have all the safety stuff is that it doesn't have the normal interfaces with an ECU that a Toyota would have. Whereas this one has the, as I say, the Elise one. So you get as much as you can with an Elise. Hence the maximum amount of automation you get in there is automatic headlamps, because that doesn't depend on the ECU at all.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the best justification I can come up for it, and that's the one I keep parroting to people. But that seems to be right, because I'm told the ECU is the Lotus job with a little bit of retweaking. Yeah, so when you're at a cruise, it's smooth. It's really quite quiet. Smooth is relative, really. It's really quite quiet. It's not a problem. It's much quieter than the MX-5 was for that kind of journey. On the other hand, if you nail it. It has this amazing buzzsaw-like rally rasp that comes, and you get this mixture of this the sucking of the intake and just the huge amounts of air that this engine has to consume. And that's one of the reasons why the front looks so pointy, is because almost all of that big black area you see on the front of a Yaris GRMN is actually grill. Okay? So pretty much everything that looks like grill on the front of a GRMN is grill, and it is air intake. Either
it's not pseudo grill.
No, it's not pseudo grill at all, because it needs that air for either cooling the four separate radiators on the front. There's the radiator, the oil cooler, the air conditioning condenser, and there's the second cooling rad for the supercharger. And you wonder why packaging is quite so neat. All in there, all in the front of the car. So it needs all of that, plus the air it needs to run, and of course being super compressed by the supercharger doesn't help. Means it needs even more air. As a result, all that air has to go out the back, so the exhaust is quite something. But you get this kind of, I can't even mimic it. It's this, there's the kind of slurping of the supercharger over. Which kind of with this buzz, this almost motorcycle like buzz over the top of it, and it really is quite intoxicating.
Are we going to get taken me a little while to stop doing Alan's car?
Yeah,
on the roads.
Yeah, we are. We are. We have about 75 of the 150 is already done. Actually, all the words are already written as well. I mean, super organized this time. We will. The other thing it has is that it has no stop start in this, by the way. This is not a city car. The reason it's not the only real reason to me it's not a city car is that the clutch is as heavy as anything. It weighs an absolute ton.
Is that because, again, the ECU thing?
No, I think that's just what the clutch is
no,
like.
Sorry, I meant the no stop start.
Possibly. It doesn't matter, because all that happens is you sit there and it's at 900 RPM going... And it is basically aggressive in traffic. It just sits there going... Sounding like a rally car. It's fantastic. But you expect a policeman to come along and go, excuse me, sir, your vehicle is behaving in a threatening manner. Why is it just attacked that Hyundai i10? I don't know. It just does it. It's like a,
I know,
it's like
it's
a little
why
aggressive.
I bought it.
It's like a little aggressive terrier sitting there going.
You got a Jack Russell.
Well, it reminds me of my mate Scotty actually, and he doesn't growl, but or it's like a grumbly Westie going. So it sits there. It's not very happy, but no, it sounds great.
For a little while. You don't want to
really. If you're stuck in a traffic jam, you turn it off. But okay. You do manual stop start because it can be a bit wearing, and it gives you a chance to flex your left calf as well.
So you're going to be lopsided.
I mean, I'm not exactly undercarved as it is, but even then, it's still like, oh, this is on. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. But as long as you're not, you know, stuck in traffic, it's fantastic. Other minor annoyances are the limited range. I'm getting better at this. It's a bit like driving an EV. In fact, there are EVs with a longer range than this. I'm getting about 260 miles.
Ooh.
I mean, the tank is tiny. I can probably pee more than you can fit in the tank.
How big is the tank?
I don't know. It's quite small. I don't know. I haven't looked it up. I should have looked it up. I looked up everything else before we came up. It's getting about 260. Now the thing is, right, that range is up, is pretty much up until the orange light comes on. Because because the orange light, which I normally think is, haha, that's 25 more miles or so, only came on the one time I've had it's come on has only come on with 5 miles left. And it wasn't 5 miles because I drove 6 miles from the point where it said 5 miles on. So I must have been on minus one anyway. But yeah, but I mean, to give you an idea of how tiny the tank is, even on Tesco 99, you're still about 45 quid max to fill the tank. So it's really not that big. I'll let you do the maths on that one.
But it's annoying enough. 35 litres.
It's about that, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty small.
Okay. It'd be interesting to know whether that's a Yaris specific or whether it's the GRMN.
No, I think it's Yaris specific, but I'm not sure if it's actually got the tank out the hybrid to clear space underneath, which of course would be smaller.
Mm. Okay. Okay.
So the trouble is you need to leave space underneath for the exhaust to go through and for the massive back box that hangs down like a swollen gonad behind the right rear wheel.
Okay. So what's your MPG you're getting then? What's your
so
far? And this is with the engine still being tight and it's not
yeah, so given the 260 miles range, it's had 9 fills in this first 2,000 miles. The best I've had so far is 34 miles per gallon. The worst is 28. Please bear in mind that there have been 2 trips to the Rockingham Summer Social in there, of doing, you know, a number of laps of the little sprint track, at pace and not caring about this. The average has been about 30.6. It's sitting right at the minute. But there have been lots of slightly abnormal things in there, and as well as that, it is improving, both because I stop running the nuts off it off away from traffic lights and roundabouts, and as I grow up and I stop playing as much, it is improving, and the engine is slackening off a bit as well. So,
do we know when is it going to be one of these first services and then everything's released, or will it just?
I don't believe so. No.
So it's just going to be a gradual over time. It just, the engine warms up, you know, wears in.
Experience in the past with these with Toyota engines shows that it just gradually gets better and better until about 10,000 miles.
Okay, so In another 3 and a bit months, then.
Yeah, something like that. Certainly with the diesels, it's taken at least 10,000 to 12,000 miles to feel that they've loosened off. Service intervals, by the way, are normal, 12,000.
Okay.
12,500. Normal Yaris service intervals, anyway.
Right.
Or 1 year, as if it's never going to reach that in the first year. So
conclusions.
Love it. I mean, it's got loads of flaws, mostly to do with it being quite an old platform. Because this platform has been around since 2008, I think.
So what do you mean?
Sorry, 2012.
Flaws, then.
Well, stuff like the plasticky interior and just the packaging that's meant that it's got a tiny tank and stuff like that. Okay. Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing. So nothing that I haven't talked about already.
No. Just making sure that we haven't missed anything.
Yeah, but other than that, it is awesome. But the thing is, I knew that right at the start, right before I'd driven it, right when I first signed up. That's always going to be that was always going to be the case, and so I'm not surprised and I'm not disappointed by that. In fact, if I'm surprised in any way, it's how few it actually has whenever you're using it in real life.
So, because I was really, do you think then that this has been a good first step by GRMN?
I can't see how it isn't. I think it's given it's been
successful
them a lot of
as a testing of waters to prove what can be done, how positive they can make the experience of people like it and rave about it.
Yes, I also think they've learned an awful lot about the order process and how to deal with dealers as part of this, and what they need to keep an eye on. Going by the experience, not just my own experience, but other people in the little
owners, you and your special little club
owners group, my special little club,
little gang,
the owners group on Facebook. Yeah. So I think that they've learned stuff from that, and what the kind of owners are like that buy these cars like this. Although I think they had a pretty good idea of
what
that.
What are
anyway.
They like?
They're the kind of people that will buy a new car and then go out and stick bits on it.
Yes.
As well. So yeah, and I think that the ordering process and what they need to communicate with dealers all the way through that, and I think there's loads of stuff that they've learned from this before. Maybe bigger, faster, fancier GRMN branded vehicles come out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beginning with S and ending in A type of thing. I think it's been a good test bed for that.
Sleeker begins with a C.
Yeah, maybe not sleeker. What else? The new, yeah. I mean, right at the minute as we record this, loads of people are driving the new Fiesta ST. It makes this car look crazily expensive. It's worth mentioning that because someone will come up with a new Fiesta ST. It's only 18,000 and something, and it's got far more kit. And it does, because I've just been through all the online stuff.
Yeah, it starts off at that when you put kit on it. But, you're talking 22 to 24, aren't you?
Yeah. Still, my
but
point
still
stands.
It is.
That's 22 to 24 with all the active safety stuff, all the stuff, leather seats, Bose stereo, etc., etc., etc.
Latest platform,
Bang & Olufsen stereo, latest platform, etc., etc., etc.
Yeah.
On the other hand, they will sell as many Fiesta STs in the UK as every week, if not quicker than that, as the entire run of GRMNs.
Well, then you could be part of a large gang.
Don't want to be part of a large gang. I like having the rarest car in the car park, and it's really great to have it again. And every time I park it and walk away, and I press the little thing, and the mirrors go bzzzt in, because it's the first car I've ever had which actually does that. it's a little.
We
thing,
thought
so
he was
you,
a little child
things.
About leaving the traffic lights, but no, it's leaving the car park.
No, it's leaving the car park. Always look back and look at it, and that to me, I just can't. I can't express how important that is to me. And having that rearest one in the car park is nice. It's something which I've bizarrely I have missed since the Veracross.
Cool.
So it's doing a cracking job filling in for both Veracross and MX-5.
When do you take it on a next long journey?
Dunno.
Okay.
Currently, August. Yeah, currently August, because I've got a different press car next time I'm in Scotland.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you are happy with the car you've put your actual own money into.
Yes, well,
that would
that's
be very disappointing and sad if you had it, you've done 2,000 miles and went, oh, I wasn't. No, there's
well,
too many
do you know what? When I got
me.
It, when I started off with it, it was really hard because for the first 3 weeks, it was impossible to drive it when it wasn't snowing or raining. It was, and I'm not. And by the way, there was nothing wrong with the car in that point at all. It was just the weather and stuff was just so awful. It was like, oh, maybe I should have bought something sensible. But no, now that it's dry,
and warm.
My only thing I'm missing is opening the roof. But again, that's something that I kind of knew when I sold the convertible.
Yes. Roof open is not everything. Hmm.
Blooming is on a nice day, I tell you. Just quickly, before we round up, I want to say a quick thanks to Stan, the team at Gazoo and Toyota Europe for actually making the car. I still can't believe you did it. I still can't believe you're going to turn a penny of profit on any of these, given the amount of engineering that's gone into them. And also thanks to Richie and Miles at Struan Toyota in Perth. Yeah, long, long time since I bought a car from Miles, but yeah, nice to catch up with him again. Brings us to the end, I think.
It does.
So,
well, that's a good first report.
Yes, yeah, I'll try and build an app, see what it's like when we get to 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sometime about September, maybe.
Yeah,
no,
right.
No. Yeah. No, it won't be that quickly. Yep. So anyway, at some point, it'll be back. And I'll be trying to drag it into absolutely every conversation we have ever about any car and making comparisons, which are completely and utterly useless and irrelevant, because that seems to be what I do.
Yes, don't forget everyone.
I can't help it.
Don't forget everyone. You need to adjust your drinking card, the Motoring Podcast drinking card. Remove MX-5 and replace with Toyota Yaris GRMN.
Yes. Yes. Any references to Mazda to Toyota, and any references to MX5 to Yaris and or GRMN. Shall I do the ending of the show now?
I think probably you best.
Okay. Don't forget, folks, between now and next time, you can give us any feedback, share your thoughts of the show at Motoring Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, on Facebook, and on the contact page of motoringpodcast.com, the hub of all our activities. Please don't forget to leave a rating and review on iTunes or however your podcast app lets you do such a thing. It really, really does matter. Andrew, best way to get in touch with you?
Best way to get in touch with me would be via Twitter. If you search for Cracked Windscreen, you will find me there. And Alan, if people would like to know even more geekiness about your new car, what is the best way for them to get in touch with you personally?
There is so much more geekiness, and I promise I've actually dialed it back tonight.
He has.
Yeah, I really have. Twitter, as ever, where I'm at AJP Bradley, Bradley. So we'll be back before very long. But until then, I've been Alan Bradley.
I've been Andrew Clues.
And safe motoring.